Well, once again, Happy New Year to you all. I trust 2025 was a good year, and I trust that 2026 will be favorable to you as well. And I trust that this new year will be one that is hopeful, and prosperous for you as well. One that will be spiritually challenging. We always need that, spiritually challenging, with many opportunities to serve the Lord as he has gifted each one of us. This past year certainly has been a different one, especially on the prophecy front, with many self-proclaimed prophets announcing the date of the rapture, which didn't happen, by the way, because you're all still here, and you would have gone in the rapture. Many of us have had to deal with some health issues, challenges. There have been economic challenges, a lot of ungodly political decisions that have been made, or at least are being worked on. Bill C-9 in Canada, for example, we're praying that that thing will finally be turned down by the Senate when they get together a little bit later this month. So at the beginning of a new year, it's always good to think about what we will do and what we will face in 2026. Once again, the prophets are announcing that this year will be the rapture year. So I think they've been doing that for, what, 3 or 4 years now? They just don't get it that no man knows the day or the hour. But they like to think that they know secret knowledge. And start announcing that. So for some years, not all the years of the life of our church, we'll be celebrating 30 years this September, 30 years of existence and service for the Lord. Can't hardly believe that's been 30 years. But we've always had a theme for our church for some of those years along the way. Last year's theme, for example, which is still printed on this day's bulletin cover, last year's theme was, "Great is the faithfulness of the Lord, therefore will I hope in him." That came from Lamentations 3, verse 23 and 24, which says, "Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him." And so for 2025, on a number of occasions, we've looked at the word hope and what it is and what it means for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one of the reasons why we say, even in this new year, hope still carries on. And I trust it will be a hopeful, F-U-L-L, year ahead. So this morning, I want to present a new theme to you for 2026. I've thought a lot about what we could have, and as I was thinking, a verse came to mind with those three great Christian graces that are announced at the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth, you know what the three are? Faith, hope, and King James, charity. The greatest of these is charity. Now, I like the word charity. I think it captures the essence of the Greek word agape very well. But we also know that in some places the word love is used to translate agape. So the three great Christian graces are to be found in this verse, and I trust might be evident in all of our lives. faith, hope, and charity, or love. We touched on faith over the years. A number of years ago, we focused in on faith, and last year we zeroed in on hope. This year, I thought we could focus in on the third word in that verse, and that is the word charity, or love. The word charity translates the Greek word agape And that Greek word, agape, occurs 116 times in the New Testament. It's translated charity 27 times, but it's also translated with the English word love 86 times. So the heavier weight goes toward the word love, but we need to understand that the word love, agape, is really the meaning of the word charity. Right, those two words are both sides of one side of the same coin, two sides of the same coin. Charity is a proper translation of agape, and in the word love, the same focus is to be seen. Love is charity, and charity is love. And we need to keep that association in our minds as we think about God's word and its use of the word love. Now, of course, love translates several other Greek words. Terms like philos, phileo, brotherly love, and stergo, which is family love, love of family, and then eros. It's never used in the scriptures, but the Greeks had that word eros for an erotic kind of love, and never used in the New Testament scriptures. So with the thought in mind that the greatest of the three Christian graces is charity or love, my proposal for a new theme for 2026 is 2026, a good year to love. Now, Audrey's already covered me up here there, but I'm going to get her to uncover me. Thank you. So 2026, a good year to love. And then I have listed seven things that we should direct our love to, seven areas where we should express our love. And I've listed them there. Number one is we need to love the triune God, or love the Lord, all capital letters, our God. And that's first, in first place, to love the Lord our God. Secondly, we need to love the Lord Jesus. And when we say that we want to love, I know you already do, so 2026 is an opportunity for us to expand that love or grow that love even to a greater degree. That's what we're looking at, to love the Lord more, to love the Lord Jesus more. Thirdly, we need to love the Word of God. The Bible is becoming fast in the minds of many in the world, an obsolete book. It's old, it's got a lot of hate in it, and we don't like hate speech or anything like that, and so part of Bill C-9 in Canada is to recognize that part of the Bible is hate speech, which it's not. And so if that thing goes through, there will be some challenges for us who love the Word of God. Number four is love the church. And once again, the world around us, the church is becoming, again, obsolete or people aren't interested anymore. Number five, love one another. Number six, love our neighbor. And number seven, perhaps one that you have not thought of before, is to love the Lord's appearing. Love the Lord's appearing. So in this new year of 2026, it's a good year to express our love in these seven areas. They are not necessarily declining in order. Certainly, I think, maybe importance with the number one and number two. Now, with each of these, of course, there is a Bible reference to be associated. I didn't have room to put them on that, but I will, I'm going to print this for you, so that you can take it home and then stick it somewhere where you can be reminded of it. And I will add in the verses in the in the little poster thing that I'm making up for you. So with my suggestions for verse references for these is, number one, love the triune God, Matthew 22:37. And if you're writing them down, that's fine, but I will have them on the sheet for next time. In Matthew 22:37, we read, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Mark's report on this adds the word strength to it as well. So that's Matthew 22, verse 37. To love the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got a couple of references. I'm not sure which one to pick. Maybe you could help me with that. Which one do you think would be better, or keep them both, maybe? In Ephesians 6, verse 22, 6, verse 24, we read, Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Right? So to love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Or I've got 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, which puts the whole thing in a negative spin. 1 Corinthians 16, 22 says, If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, cursed. Right? So that puts it in a negative spin here. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. And that verse ends with Maranatha. And the word Maranatha means the Lord's coming, or something along that line. Number three, love the Word of God. it was really hard to find a single verse that would have those words in it, love and the Word of God. But I did find in Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so because that is the Word of God, we need to love it as believers in Christ. So that's Hebrews 4:12. Or 1 Peter 1:23 says, Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This book that we hold in our hands is eternal. It's going to abide forever. It's a living book because it's the very breath of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. So either one of those two, or maybe both of them together, might be a good reference for loving the Word of God. And then love the church. I have 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, and Paul's writing to his son in the faith, he says, But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Right? And we focus in on the local church, the expression of immediate and local service for the church. A lot of people and a lot of commentators, a lot of news people refer to the church, big church, the church in Canada, or the church in America. Well, you can't say that, because there are many places that call themselves a church that are nowhere near being a church according to a biblical standard. And while there is that sense of the church being the body of Christ, most of the New Testament scriptures are directed to local churches with local pastors and local deacons and local saints. Philippians 1:1 being one good example. But so here Paul says if he's going to tarry long, he doesn't come to see Timothy for a while, then he's expressing to Timothy how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. Or Ephesians 5:27, which says that he, Christ, might present it, the church, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So either one of those two references for loving the church. Number five is love one another. There are many verses in the New Testament which talks about the one another's, that is, brethren in Christ, brothers and sisters in the Lord. So I picked out 1 Peter 1:22, which says this: seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Right? See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Number six really dry in my mouth this morning. Number six, love our neighbor. Any ideas what reference we could use for that? I have Matthew 22. We looked at verse 37 for loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Verse 39 says, Jesus says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we could have also gone to verses like at the end of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says we're to love our enemies. Some of them are neighbors. And a neighbor is just anybody who's around you, it seems to me. The Good Samaritan, of course, is the classic illustration of that. And then lastly, number seven, to love the Lord's appearing. There is one verse in all of the New Testament that talks about loving the Lord's appearing. And that I think that's significant and important for us as believers, because his appearing means that we're going home. When he appears to rapture the church, we will be going home. So the only verse that has love his appearing is 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, where Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Right? So you love the appearing of the Lord. We look forward to it. We anticipate it. We hope for it. It's the blessed hope of the believer. We want him to come. And we love the whole doctrine of the return of Christ and the rapture of the church and his appearing once again. And we know that if we love that and live in accordance to that, there could be a crown of righteousness awaiting some of you as well. And it's a good reminder about trusting the Lord. So now as we go through this new year, 2026, we'll consider each of these areas. Probably on Communion Sundays, I think we'll do that. And we'll ponder how we might show our love for each of these areas, these seven areas. Also, you might think of some other verses that might be more appropriate than the ones that I've selected. So if you find something that you think might be a little bit better than the ones I'm going to put on the sheet for you, just let me know what you come up with, and we'll give that some consideration. Now, agape is love is such a big topic, isn't it? from Genesis all the way to Revelation, we find the aspect of love being given to us in very many and different ways. I trust that these seven areas here might help us to focus our love in very specific and practical ways. And then, as Paul said again in 1 Corinthians 13, charity or love is the greatest of the Christian graces. And he describes this charity, this love, in the first verses of 1 Corinthians, first 8 verses of 1 Corinthians 13. So just as we close for this morning, let me have you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I know you probably know this chapter very well. So I'm just wanting to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance this morning. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, that's the word agape, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And now he gives a full description of what charity, agape, love is all about. Verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. That means it's not jealous. Charity vaunteth not itself. There's no pride in it. It's not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and it thinketh no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in what? The truth, right? The truth is what it rejoices in. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never, what's the next word? Faileth. Charity or love never faileth. That is a great passage of scripture that we need to keep in mind this year in particular, 2026, as we think about loving in these areas. I would suggest, if you're looking for something to do this afternoon, is to write out these verses on a sheet of paper or type them out on your computer and put them somewhere in your home. I'm suggesting you're going to have your home littered with paper all over the place this year. But write them out. Put them someplace where you can see them every day. Meditate on them. Examine yourself to see how you are doing with each of these descriptions that Paul has given. And one more thing, we might also consider the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, Paul mentions that this fruit of the Spirit is characteristics in the life of a believer produced by the Holy Spirit. So if we have the Spirit of God in our lives, and as Christians we do, and if we will submit to the Spirit of God, if we will be filled with the Spirit, as Paul says, then these this ninefold fruit should be evident in our lives in a very clear way. In Galatians 5:22 and 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is," and the first word is love, right? That stands at the head of this list. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. The word temperance is the word self-control. And against such there is no law. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians. Love, agape, is the first part of the fruit that kind of overshadows all the other ones that he makes a listing of here. And why should that be first? Because 1 Corinthians 13:13 says that charity is the greatest of them all. So next time, we're going to zero in a little bit deeper in number one, to love the triune God. And we'll do that at the next communion service in February. And so we'll work on them through the course of this year. But I trust that you might take to heart the heart and really seek to maybe develop some of these in a greater way than you have ever done before, and that the Lord would be pleased with our love expressed this year. So if you have any ideas, suggestions, other verses, maybe some other areas for love, I chose these seven because that's seven, the number of perfection and completion, seems to me. So we'll return to this each month and pick up the following verses. Trust that this will be an encouragement for all of us. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for time together in your word. We thank you for the opportunity to show, express, develop our love in these seven areas that we have listed. And I pray that you would help us throughout the course of this year to do just that. And as we think about our love for the triune God, we ask, Lord, that it might grow, that it might be greater than ever before in our lives through the course of this coming year. And for the other ones there as well, that they would become a vital part of our life and living as believers. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to present a new theme for a new year. And I pray that you will bless that to our hearts and lives this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.